if there is someone in our church who hasn't plugged into an area of service yet, what are they missing out on?
It's the most rewarding thing that you will do. I mean, there are blessings in everything you do. Might be something big, might be something small. Just like their needs all around us, there are blessings all around us too.
I've got two young kids at home, two young boys. And so for a long time, there were certain things that I wouldn't sign up for because I thought, I'm going to have to parent in the middle of this, right?
Yeah.
But part of my job as a parent, and so to encourage other young families, is bring them along. I mean, sure, there's going to be a few things that they cannot, and thank goodness we have a great nursery and kids program that is willing to watch them for certain things. But, you know, my boys have learned a lot this year about how to open the doors, and they love the button and smiling. And they're learning things like, okay, well, they start getting tired. You know, keep that smile on because you never know the next person who walks through, and inevitably somebody walks through and, oh, we're so glad to see kids here. You know, just things like that. So my encouragement again for younger families would be, don't be afraid to bring them along with you. You know, train them up, show them what you get to do.
I remember that service was a big part of my family. And so now as an adult, I can look back and go, man, I will always remember that day that we spent a whole day at the church just putting together flower arrangements for Christmas.
I think for me, one of the biggest things I got out of serving that I would really encourage others to pursue service for was a community and a church family. When I moved here to Montgomery, I was right out of school. I didn't know anybody. And, you know, building a community can be hard. When I started getting involved in different service opportunities, that's when I found my people. And so I would just encourage you, if you're new to the area, new to the church, or even if you've been here a while and you just don't feel like you've really found your spot and you've really found your people, find some service opportunities, and you'd be amazed at the people that you meet and the relationships that grow out of that.
Through service, through activities at church, you see it bringing people together.
Yeah.
And sometimes people that maybe wouldn't normally spend a lot of time together.
That's what I was thinking, kind of, you physically see the body of Christ differently, right? And you, those parts start coming together actually visually for you when you do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the opposite of isolation.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's something you can't, I mean, you can't do service in isolation. There has to be someone else for you to serve at the very least. So it's,
you can try, but
yeah, but there's an inherent community aspect to working in service.
Good morning. Y'all are good. Good morning, guys. I can hear y'all now. That's great. If you want to watch the rest of that interview, please go on YouTube, anywhere you get podcasts, and you can hear the whole segment. It was absolutely fantastic. I'm so thankful for Will and all the guys for putting that together. I also want to say hello to those watching online on television, our friends in Cuba, also our friends in Scotland. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're here this morning and you do not own your own copy of God's Word, if you want a Bible like the one I'm holding in my hand, we have a Bible wall right out here to my right, your left. Please feel free to take one if you will read it. If you don't mind, please pull out your message notes that were given in the bulletin that you received. And you're in luck this morning. Last week was an 8-point sermon. I'm going to go easy this morning, so we only have 7. So it'll be good. It'll be good. Will is going to put up, I think, a QR code on the screen. If you have your cell phone, I am giving you permission to pull it out right now. Now, don't worry, I know Jesus is watching you, so he's going to know whether or not you're doing this or if you're on Facebook. And by the way, I see y'all on Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook, and I see y'all on Facebook, so I know you can do this, okay? But this is a QR code for the In His Steps card. By far, last year, most people filled it out electronically, and so thank you so much for doing that. If you do want a paper copy, those are out at Connection Point, which is that way, if you'd like to pick one up after the service. But please click on that if you would like, and that is a quick and easy way to fill out your In His Steps card. This is week 2, and this week, I'm so excited about what we get to talk about. When we're going to talk about service, what we call around here surrendered service. Now, if you're new, for about 50 years, this church has paused at some point during the year, and we've asked a very important question. And then the question is more of a prayer, and it is, God, how do you want to use me this year to glorify your name and to serve others? That's our question. And every year for about 50 years, we pause and we've asked some version of this question. And every year we're asking once again, sometimes we get caught in this cycle where we just say, well, I'm gonna do the same thing that I did last year, but it's always good to pause and to ask this question. We even do this with staff. You know, we redo all job descriptions around here every single year, every single summer, so that we ask the question, God, what are you calling me to this year and what does that look like? And some of you are thinking, wait a minute, wouldn't that be a question that you would ask at the first of the year? Well, this is the first of our ministry year. Our ministry year runs with the school year, and it has for many, many years. And one of the things I need you to know is that you're not automatically signed up for the things you've been signed up for in the past. All right, so that's why we ask everyone every year to sign up again and to recommit your service and your time to the Lord. And what we do during August is we look at four particular themes that we believe make us both faithful and fruitful in the kingdom. And they start with prayer. That's what we talked about last week, passionate prayer. This week, we're going to talk about surrendered service. Next week, we're going to talk about radical generosity. And then the fourth week, we're going to talk about intentional presence. These values have shaped us as a church for a very, very long time. But here's the thing. On August the 30th, I'm not stuck on loop here. On August the 30th, we're going to have one service. What time?
10:24.
At 10:24, because of Hebrews 10:24, we're going to come together, and that's going to be our commitment Sunday. And then after that, we're going to have a church-wide lunch. You do not want to miss that service. I promise you, you do not want to miss that service. I know that 10:24 is not 8:30, but you do not want to miss that service. But this morning, I want to talk about surrendered service. I put a quote in the top of your message notes from Billy Graham. Billy Graham said this. He said, many Christians would prefer to hear, "What a great guy," from the crowd, rather than, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from the master. I believe that is so true. If we're all being honest, there are these points in life, sometimes seasons in life, when we would rather hear, "What a great guy, what a great gal," from all the people around us than, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, when you come to faith in Christ, we have to understand that, yes, we are saved for heaven. But at the same time, we are also set free to serve God in the here and now. And my friends, you only get one chance. You only get one life to do this. Just one. I've been reading a passage over the last couple of weeks. It's in your notes, Romans 7. I've been reading Romans 7 over and over and looking at the freedom that is given to us in Christ in this passage. Notice what Romans 7 says. Romans 7, starting verse 4 and following, Paul writes and says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead, who is Christ. As a result," you say, what does this mean? What does it mean to know Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ? "As a result, we can do something now. We can produce a harvest of good deeds for God." That's actually possible in your life. So many times we think it's not possible, but it is. He says we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Verse 5, "When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death, physical death, emotional death, spiritual death, all of it. But now we have been released from the law, for we have died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God." We can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. And now, he says, we can serve him. That's how we do it. That's how we produce a harvest of good deeds in our life, by serving God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. As I've been thinking about this passage over the last couple of weeks, I kind of panned out and I asked a big question. And the question was, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about serving God? So this is a little systematic theology this morning. I looked at hundreds of passages about serving servants all throughout Scripture. And so I've narrowed it down to these seven, but there's a lot more that can be said. But there are seven truths that I want to give you this morning. Let's jump in. Number one is this. The first one is this, is that a servant's calling originates with God. If you don't get point number one, you're going to be off track from the very beginning. A servant's calling originates with God. It does not originate from within us. We do not get to pick it in that sense. It all starts with God. Our first calling in life is we are called to come to Christ. We are called to be saved. Our second calling in life is we are called to serve. And here's the thing, guys. Saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. What we say is our mission around here is we want to see, seek, and serve. We want to see Jesus clearly as individuals. We want to seek Jesus together with others, with the body of Christ around us. But then we want to serve people boldly. Why? Because saved people serve people. Every time, that's how it works. That's how it works. I love this one-liner we get in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, God is talking about David here, and it says, he chose his servant David. He, God, chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. Now, that verse goes on to say, he called him from the sheep pens so that he could be a shepherd to the people. But notice the first line. It is God who does the choosing. And notice he didn't say he chose King David. No, he chose his servant David. See, David was a servant before he was a shepherd. David was a servant before he was a king, before he was a ruler, before he did any of that stuff. First of all, he was a servant. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, notice the two things here. For God saved us, we like that part, yes. God saved us and something else, and called us to live a holy life. Notice that. He saved us and he called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because this was his plan from before the beginning of time. This was God's plan before the beginning of time, was not only to save you, but also call you. Notice that. And he says, you're called to live a holy life. You say, what is a holy life? It's very simple. It is a set apart life. It is a life that is set apart for the purposes of God, so that the purposes of God can be fulfilled, so that you can serve, so that you can produce a harvest with your life, which raises the question, how much of your life is actually set apart for God? How much of your life do you actually have God integrated into what it is you do? Because the thing is when we see this, we will say what Paul said in Romans 15. In Romans 15, verse 17, Paul says, so I have reason to be enthusiastic. He is excited. I have reason to be enthusiastic about all that Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. I love when Paul says that because he says, my calling, my service to God, it is a gift. It's a gift to me, not just a gift I give back to God. No. It's a gift to me. So many times when we talk about serving God, we talk about it in terms of a burden. It's just a burden. Listen, as a preacher, nothing drives me more insane than to hear another pastor talk about the burden of being a pastor. And I grew up with people all the time saying, well, don't do it unless you're called. Well, no, duh. Yeah, you know, but then it's like, oh, it's heavy. I'm just worn out. Listen, serving God, that is God's gift to you. You get to be a part and participate with what he's doing. It is amazing. And in this one life you have to live, you get, God invites us to serve alongside what he's doing on the planet right now. So first thing is that a servant's calling originates with God. Number two is that I have been set free to serve. I have been set free to actually do something, to serve. Not set free to just wait in peace until I die and go to heaven. I think sometimes that's kind of how it functionally works in our life. Well, I've been set free. That means just one day I'm going to heaven, so I'm just waiting until that happens. No, I've been set free to serve and to serve now. We have to understand, my friends, we have to understand not only what we've been set free from, but what we've been set free for. Not just from, but also for. And Peter clarifies this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. He says, for you are free, talking to the church. You're free. You're set free. Right. But yet, you are God's slaves. That word slaves there is the same word as servant. You're God's servants. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. What Peter's telling the church there is, yes, you've been set free, but you've been set free to serve God, to be loyal to God above all else in this life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he picks up this interesting theme, and it says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises." Notice, these are promises that enable you. Notice that phrase, enable you. You couldn't do it before, but now, because of God's promises being applied to your life, you are enabled to do something. Two things. One, to share his divine nature. Wow. Number two, to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Notice that. Notice that God's work in our life in saving us enables us for something. Listen, being forgiven is not a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all. So many times we think, well, I'm forgiven and God will forgive me. No, being forgiven means now I can participate in what God is doing. Now I can cooperate with the very nature of God, the divine nature of God, and what he's doing on the planet. And chief among that is in serving others. This is why Paul said in Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature. You got to put it on. Put on your new nature and something's going to happen. He says, and be renewed as you learn two things. You learn to know your creator. We want to know him. You learn to know your creator and you learn to become like him. Listen, becoming like Jesus is the goal. That's Romans 8:29. Becoming like Jesus is God's goal for your life. But if you're going to become like Jesus, it means that you're going to be a servant of the Father. Do you know right now, if you're here in this room and you're a Christian and you have a job outside this church, if you're in the room and you're a Christian, you have a job outside this church, guess what? You are a bivocational minister. So many times we talk about this in terms of pastors who work a job and then also work in the church. But every member of God's family is a minister. I think I heard that somewhere. It means you're a bivocational minister right now. You've been called to serve in some way. You've been set free to serve. So our calling originates in God. We're set free to serve. What does that look like? Number three is that I have been set free to use my God-given abilities and gifts, both of them. God-given abilities and gifts. God gives us natural abilities. This is how we normally talk about it. They just have a natural ability for this or that. But you have to remember that it was God who knit us together in our mother's womb. It is God who has shaped us the way we are. And so we have God-given natural abilities, but we also have spiritual gifts. And the reason why we have both is because God wants us to live at our natural best, but he also wants to use us supernaturally to bless others. I love the verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, God has given each of you, church, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now notice here. He says, use them well. Use them well, meaning you can use them not well. Use them well. How do you use them well? To serve one another, he says. You know you're using the spiritual gift well when you're serving someone else. The spiritual gift is not for you. It's so that God can work through you. See, God uses our natural abilities, things like our personality, yes, but he also uses us supernaturally when he equips us and he gives us a godly passion to serve other people for a godly reason. So our calling to be a servant originates with God. I'm set free to serve, and the way I do that is with my natural abilities that are God-given and spiritual gifts. Number four is that I've been set free so that I can serve with others. With others. This is so important. If you're going to understand the nature of the kingdom, you have to understand that we are called to serve with others. That's why here at this church, every ministry has a team. A team. We don't call them committees or boards or whatever. Every ministry has a ministry team that helps, leads, and guides that. And that's not just staff people. That is lay people who are a part of that, non-staff people. But here's the thing. Your willingness to serve God will be limited by your ability to serve with others. Please hear me. Your willingness to serve God will be limited by your ability to serve with others. So many times we say, yeah, I'll serve God as long as I get to do it my way, in my way, on my time, and by myself. Sorry. It's not how works. It's not how it works. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. Oh, it's special. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. You see that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. I love this. I was just reading a quote in a book that some of us are reading this week, and it says, there's different roles, but the same goal. We have different kinds of service, yes, but we're still one body, and we have the same Lord. That's the point he's making. Or Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. I love this. We are carefully joined together in him. You see the word carefully? We are careful, not randomly. We are carefully joined together in him. Do you think you sitting in this room is an accident? I know some of you may be visiting. I get it. But do you think you sitting in your church is an accident? No. God carefully joins us together. And then notice what's happening. You're becoming a holy temple for the Lord as you're being joined together. And then notice verse 22. It says, through him, you Gentiles, now it mentions Gentiles, are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Now notice the Gentiles are mentioned there. Now what's going on there is that the Gentiles are the ones that the Jews do not want to associate with, and in many cases, vice versa, right? They're the ones the Jews do not want to associate with. But the point that Paul's making is that we're all being joined together in Christ. And what Paul says is, listen, it's not Jew and Gentile. He says, no, there's one race, it's the human race, and we're all in this together if you are in Christ. And the beauty of what Christ's body is, the beauty even of this gathering right now, is that we all come from different places. We all have different experiences. I get that. But we are one in Christ. And what we have to realize is that our calling, yes, it originates with God. Yes, we are set free to serve. And yes, we have natural abilities and spiritual gifts, but we use those as we serve with others. But number five is this. Number five is that I have been set free to serve others and serve with others, but my aim is to please God. My aim is to please God. Our calling to be a servant originates with God. Yes. He's the one that sets us free. He's the one that gives us the natural abilities and spiritual gifts. He's the one that puts us in community with others as we're serving. So ultimately, he is the one that we want to please. A good question to ask is, who are you trying to please right now in life? Now, you probably can't answer that question, at least comprehensively right now, but if you could slow down for about 30 minutes to an hour and really ask that question, you might be surprised at the answer that you get. Because sometimes we're trying to please ourselves and to live a life in which we have constructed. Sometimes we're trying to please others or somebody else around us or somebody in our family. We're still trying to please our mom or our dad and live up to their standards, to live out their goals for our life. And the question is, are we trying to please ourselves by living a life that we have constructed, by living by those standards and goals? Are we trying to please others by living out a life that they have constructed with those standards and goals? Or are we trying to live the life that God has designed for us to live? Because here's the warning that the Bible gives us in Galatians. Galatians 1:10, Paul writes and he says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. That's strong language. He says, if your aim in life is to please people, you actually can't be Christ's servant. And you say, why? Why does that have to be? Well, you always do the will of the one you serve. You always do the will of the one you serve. And as Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. And so he says, if my aim in life is to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. We have to understand that our calling, it originates in God. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one that gives us natural abilities and gifts. He's the one that places us in community. So our ultimate aim in life is to please him. The reason why as well, number six, is that I've been set free to represent someone far greater than myself. if we as Christians could get this one, that you and I in this life, everything we do, but especially when we say we're doing something in Jesus' name, we are representing him. You see, what God does and what God has done throughout history is he has called people to represent him to the people around them. That's what it means to represent. To represent who he is to those we serve. Now, he did in the Old Testament, Hebrews 3:5. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. There's the word. Notice, his work was an illustration of the truths God would later reveal. Moses' life pointed to something greater than himself, and he also pointed to something that God was going to do in the future. We do the same. We do the same. Our life represents who God is to those around us, and we point forward to the fact that one day he's coming back. We get to do that through our serving others. Or 2 Corinthians 5:20, just the first line. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Interesting word. God is making his appeal through us. He's doing something through us. An ambassador accurately represents the will, purpose, intention, goals of someone else. All of that and more. They're representing someone who has a position higher than them. That's why they're there. And that's why we are here. You see, God's goal is not just that the saved serve, that saved people serve people, but that through our service, we represent who he is, what God is like, and what he wants for the people around us. That's why how we serve matters. Every year I say it, I'm gonna say it again, because I'm consistent. Every year I say it, if you're gonna serve, you're gonna sign up to serve, and you're gonna be a grouch the whole time, just keep that to yourself. Don't do it. Because how we serve matters. Because my friends, you're not just representing you and your family. And even this family, we're representing Christ himself. So my calling originates with God. He's the one who sets me free. He gives me natural abilities and spiritual gifts. But he puts me together with other people in community. My aim is to please him because I'm representing him. But number seven is this. Number seven is when I serve, I help some people grow in God and some know God. Some to grow and some to know. Some to grow and some to know. We do both. One's called discipleship, and the other is called evangelism. But we do both. Let's talk about the grow one first. Ephesians 4:16 says that he, God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Did you know that? When we're each doing our part, whatever part that is, however great, small, however we want to scale that in our brain, there's no great or small, but we scale it. When we're doing our part, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Each part is a special work. Again, we scale it. It's all special to God. Notice, it helps. When we're doing that, it helps the other parts grow. There's the word. When you are serving in the way, whatever way it is, when you are serving, it actually helps the other parts of the body around you to grow so that the whole body is three things: healthy, growing, there's the word again, and full of love, which is how and why we serve. Whenever we serve, we have to understand we are helping the people around us grow little by little. Little by little, over time, shaping each other, molding each other. But not only do we help each other grow, we help some people know who God is. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I want to go back to that verse in your notes. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Notice the next line. We speak for Christ. We represent him. we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That is the message that we have been given. That we get to go help people know that there is a God who wants them back. You say, what do you mean wants them back? It starts like this. You were created by God. Yes, Lord. You were created by God. This is the message. You don't know God because your sin has separated you from him, but he knows you, and he wants you to come back to him because he's the one who created you, and he's the one who loves you. And by the way, he made a way for you to come back through his son. Do you know what that's called? It's called the gospel, the good news. Come back to God. Come back to the one who created you. And here's the thing. When you understand that your calling, whatever that looks like, however your service looks like this year, I told you last week, God has a plan for your life this year. It starts with him. It comes from him. He's the one that inspires it. He's the one who guides it and directs it. Yes. But you're set free to serve. You have natural abilities and spiritual gifts. And he puts people around you to serve with. Your aim is to please him because you represent him. And here's the result of it. If you dare do this, you're going to help some people grow this year. And if you dare do this, you're going to help some people know him this year. I am convinced, it's not just enough to say you love Jesus. Because I think if you really love Jesus, you will love who Jesus loves. I really believe that. I really believe that. You know what it's like to be in love? And the person you're in love with, they like something, you don't like it. They're like, oh, do you like doing this too? Yeah, of course. And it's not that you like doing the thing, but you like being with them. You see? But when you love Jesus, you're going to love who Jesus loves because you're going to want to be with him doing what he does. That's why Jesus said, my servants, they're always with me. And Jesus is always out helping people know him and grow in him. And when you love him, you'll be doing the same. So I want us to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, to close the service. But let the challenge in our heart be, are we willing to love who Jesus loves as well? Sound good? All right, I'm going to lead this song. I'm just kidding. Y'all stand.